All right, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast, episode 57. We are coming to you live on a Monday night, the night the Destiny 2 PC beta has released. But on top of that, we actually have a ton of information to go over. This is going to be a relatively spoiler-heavy episode. So if you do not want to know about the European Dead Zone, the stuff that has been released, if you do not want to know about the new PvP map Javelin 4, you might want to go ahead and skip over this episode, or you can go back and check out something from the backlog. We've had a lot of great episodes recently, a couple of new in real life cast, so don't hesitate to go back for those. But like I said, we are going to be talking about the European Dead Zone and the new PvP map, so if you want to avoid that stuff, hold off for one more week till you can experience it on your own. We will not blame you if you skip over this episode, but let's go ahead and get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. How are you doing tonight, Kit?
Hey, Mercules, I'm doing awesome, man. Feeling the burn from my mud run this weekend, but as ever, I'm always excited to have new Destiny stuff to talk about, and we have had some crazy releases and not leaks, but like just Bungie telling us awesome stuff this week. So,
well, we did have a leak a little bit earlier, right before Gamescom, or right during the beginning of Gamescom. They leaked like an hour long video of European Dead Zone gameplay, which was pretty awesome.
Yep.
That got taken down very quickly. They were not pleased with that. But then the next day, they officially released all the European Dead Zone stuff. So it looks like someone might have just gotten the embargo date wrong. There was a lot about the European Dead Zone. People tore that gameplay apart and discovered a ton of things. They looked at adventures, they looked at, you know, the patrol events, the heroic versions of patrol events. Turns out that it now looks like the Taken King subclasses are going to be coming back.
Yep.
Which is something that Bungie very, very heavily kept under wraps up until this. I'm actually a little bit surprised. I'm almost wondering if they released all this stuff in response to the leak, but it seemed like they had it all prepared, so maybe not. But I almost would have felt like with only 2 weeks left until the actual release of the game, they would have kept all the stuff under wraps, because, I mean, hell, this is the most spoiler-heavy content we've seen from them since basically the initial reveal.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong about that. It really surprised me as well. Now, I actually get, this was my guess, that this is what was going to happen. Because they never denied that the Taken King subclasses were in the game, my assumption was that we would rediscover them during play, in some fashion somewhat similar to the way we originally gained them in the Taken King. You know, we gained them through quest lines there, through playing missions. I assumed that there would be something along those lines in this game that would ultimately give those subclasses back to us. It looks like, and I guess we're not pulling punches here, spoilers from the get-go, so maybe we'll have to, I don't know, just emphasize that spoiler warning in the description of this episode too. Yeah, but it does look like the Taken King subclasses are confirmed. The only thing I can think of is that a lot of people have been very, like, that's like the one thing that's really like nagging at them, that there is no Night Stalker, or, you know, maybe, I guess Night Stalker is the one I hear about the most because hunters are the best. Mercules is not in agreement. But, you know, I mean, Stormcaller and even Sunbreaker, you know, people are like, where are these classes at? How can we go from nine classes down to six and have that make sense in the story? And that's a valid question. And Bungie has answered us that we aren't going to, because it makes sense to keep them.
I'm wondering how they're going to deal with Sunbreaker, because Sunbreaker and Dawnblade are almost the exact same thing when it comes down to it. So I'm wondering if they're going to drastically change the way Sunbreaker functions, or if Dawnblade is going to have been changed before the release of the game, because we've never before had two subclasses that basically have the same function. Yeah. Every subclass has been completely and totally different, at least as far as its super goes, and Sunbreaker and Dawnblade are not different. They have very similar grenades, a very similar super. I mean, everything about them is basically similar, other than one is a Titan and one is a Warlock. So I'm interested where they're going to go with that. We do not know for sure. I don't think there have been any leaks so far of the three Taken King subclass perk trees. So that's something we are going to have to figure out on our own.
Yep.
And I'm very curious to see that, especially how they match up balance-wise. I wouldn't say disappointed, but I very much wanted us to have more subclasses in Destiny 2. I wanted it to be like, you know, we had the original three subclasses for each character, and then they were going to add on three more, you know, so we would have six. So we would have two options for Arc, for Hunter, you know, Blade Dancer and Arc Strider, or something not necessarily so similar, but where you'd have multiple options for each, you know, class for each element. I thought that would have been a really, really cool idea, but maybe they thought it would be too difficult to balance. Maybe they thought it would be too much repetition and be too much work. I'm not sure the reason why. That was what I was keeping my fingers crossed for. But in the meantime, I'll just be happy that we have nine subclasses. Again, I won't be upset about that at all.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic news. A lot of people are going to be really happy. And honestly, I have a bunch of clan mates who are keeping their heads in the sand, and I cannot wait to have somebody get that drop. Like, the excitement in party chat is going to be off the charts. So that's going to be fantastic. I wouldn't completely give up hope. I don't think we're going to get multiple options per element, but I do think that we are going to see more perk branches, I guess. They're not really trees now because you can't choose different parts, but I think we're going to see more perk branches appear. So we're going to have, you know, maybe a third way or whatever added to the Gunslinger in the first expansion. I think we're going to see another way added in the next expansion, something along those lines. That would not surprise me in the least. I feel like they would be missing a huge opportunity if they didn't do that. But you're right. You know, there's a lot that we don't know. You know, and I guess if we get a Self-Res Titan, since they decided to rework things, you heard it first here. I'm just going to...
Oh, God, a Self-Res Titan would be the absolute worst. I pray no more Self-Res. Invis is not something I really thought needed to go away. I like the way Invis functions. Self-Res really, really, really needed to go away. That was as broken as almost anything has been in Destiny, both in PvE and PvP, too. So just caused a whole host of problems, but... You know, besides the subclasses, we also saw the reveal of a new exotic pulse rifle, which I pointed out to you functioned, to me, and I didn't check the frames on it, I'm into this week and I totally forgot, but to me it looked like it fired burst faster. Right now, the way a pulse rifle works is it fires one shot, then there's a frame delay, then there's a second shot, then there's a frame delay, then there's the third shot. So each burst takes 5 frames. As long as it's a standard 3-burst or 3-round burst pulse rifle, right? And this one, to me, based on the initial gameplay that I saw of it, seemed like it fired a shot every frame. So it went 1, 2, 3. And the reason Bungie has avoided doing that in the past is because when you drop frames, which does sometimes happen in gameplay, when you drop frames, it screws up the firing if there's no delay. It basically would skip a shot, and then the next frame it has to fire 2, you know, shots in the exact same frame, which can screw up the math. So they've avoided doing that, but it really looked to me like it did it. I'm going to check the gameplay in Sony Vegas. Actually, before we edit this podcast, I'll have checked it.
Okay.
And I'll put a confirmation down in the description and everything. But it looked to me like it fired faster. But then on top of that, so we found out that shield detonation was not the actual normal detonation of breaking a shield. It was the perk for that gun. The exotic perk is enemies explode when killed by it. So.
Yep. So that makes a lot more sense. I mean, it did seem like a crazy big explosion for that to just be the way things always are. Was this the Graviton Lance? Is that what it's called?
Yes, okay. It is. And it looks kind of like a railgun type thing. Yep. And the third shot does bonus damage but has increased recoil or whatever it was like that. I thought it was very cool looking. It was a very attractive gun.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. And obviously it's going to be a lot of fun to get our hands on. It is going to be a little different if it does fire every frame. Like you say, that kind of, you know, I guess maybe on consoles... it's less likely to be an issue, but I have to wonder how that balances out on PC. Things can get a little fuzzy on PC. So,
well, on PC it'll work easier for them because they'll have more frames to play with. So that may be why, because, you know, we saw that they put in 720 RPM auto rifles, which is something they've never done before on consoles, because you have to alternate frames.
Yep.
So it shoots a bullet every 3 frames, and a bullet every 2 frames, and a bullet every 3 frames, and a bullet every 2 frames. And the way they space out the sound effect and the, like, flare effect kind of makes it look like it's firing, makes it look like it's firing at a standard rate, but it's not. It's alternating back and forth. On PC, they don't have to do that.
It's true.
Because they can, you know, put frames at 60, at 90, at 120, things like that. So they actually have enough frames to space it out. What I've wondered that they're going to do, and it doesn't look like they're doing this, but I thought the way they would get around that is by capping the frames. Like, once you hit 60 frames, in PvP, it stays at 60 frames until you hit 90 frames. And then it stays at 90 frames until you hit 120 frames. But it doesn't appear like they're doing that based on the gameplay I've seen that has frame counters in it. I mean, it seems steady, but at odd numbers like 140 and stuff like that. So I'm wondering if they're playing around with something like that in the beta, because otherwise you would have guns alternating their rate of fire as the frames change in gameplay. And granted, when you're at 120 frames a second, it doesn't even matter. There's almost no discernible way for a human being to tell whether a frame has been dropped off when you've got 120 frames in a second.
Yeah.
It's just impossible. You know, 30 frames, you actually kind of can tell with 30 frames. 60 frames, a little bit above that, you're basically never going to be able to tell. But still, for balance reasons, you would think that that would not be something you would want to have happen. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see how they mess around with that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very curious to learn more. And as you're listening to this podcast, the PC beta is in full swing. We've just caught kind of the very beginning of it here. So definitely looking forward to learning some more about that and learning some more about how things are going to work differently between the console and PC versions of the game in the months to come here. Speaking of PC, though, I just wanted to throw a couple of things out real quick. First off, if you're looking at this these PC beta videos and you're thinking, gosh, I kind of want to get into that, but you're not really sure where to start, let me point you back to episode 55, part 2. How to build a PC for Destiny 2. We've got a lot of great tips, a lot of really good information in there, especially if you're coming into PCs without a whole lot of experience. I know going into that episode, or that part of that episode, Mercules, you were not really thinking that building PC was something that you would ever even consider doing. But how did you feel coming out of it?
I mean, it made me want to build a PC, which before I legitimately didn't care. Like, I was just like, oh, I'm not going to play PC. But then when you started talking about it, like building a PC is the same as specking out a Guardian or, you know, modding anything that you have, it kind of got me interested in it. I started looking at parts. I put together like an optimal build that I would want for myself, which wasn't quite as good as like the top of the line build that you have, but I would have been able to run Destiny. But, you know, it ended up being quite expensive, and I looked at it and I was like, man, I've got student loans I got to pay off, and I've got other things, you know, on my list of stuff that I want to buy, and I've got an Xbox One. I don't necessarily need to spend the money on a PC. But then the Destiny 2 beta came out for PC, and now all I hear is people talking about how the field of view is bigger, you can see more, it's prettier, it runs smoother. And I gotta admit, from the gameplay I've watched, it does look freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
And, you know, geez, the idea of being able to play it at like 120 frames a second and 4K and all this other stuff. But then I think about how much I suck with a mouse and a keyboard, and I'm like, eh. But then I heard about how wonderfully it plays on PC with a controller, and it's like, ah. But yeah, I ran the numbers, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get a gaming rig anytime in the next year. So I want to do it, but I can't justify the money at this point in time. But the episode that you're talking about did definitely put the idea in my head, whereas before I wasn't even considering it.
Yeah, it's you know, it's one of those things, because I would love to myself to be able to put together a rig, and it's something that I've had my eye on for a while, and I don't know, I might try to make it happen here in the next six months to a year. We'll see how the money falls out. But it was a ton of fun putting that episode together. If you have even an inkling that this is something you're interested in, check it out. Keep rolling. One of the other things I wanted to talk a little bit more about, speaking of the PC beta specifically, is that there's a new control map that's been revealed, Javelin 4. And I wanted to just take a minute to talk about that, because that's, you know, maps are something that we've broken down in the past, back again in episode 49, plug in that episode, which was another fantastic episode that you did a ton of great work on, Mercules. And I would highly recommend, if anybody wants to learn how to understand maps and use that understanding to be literally better at the game, at any PvP game, not just Destiny, go listen to that episode. But Javelin 4, we were watching some video earlier, and it appears to be a circular map, right?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like that, at least from the center of it. It looked actually kind of similar to Icarus, just based on initial impressions in terms of the architecture, not in terms of the color palette, but in terms of what you see there. But I have no experience playing Icarus, obviously, because it's a PlayStation exclusive. And I also have no experience playing Javelin 4 because I do not have a PC right now that can run the Destiny 2 beta. So I just watched a couple of gameplays. I think I watched Suddoth 2 play a few games on it. It was interesting, but it did look circular. It looked like there was that distinctive middle hub, and not necessarily a rectangular diamond-shaped design. So I think you'd be pretty safe in calling it circular.
Yeah, so just like briefly, basically, for those listening who might not have heard episode 49, a circular map is essentially defined by, as you might guess, concentric circles with spokes connecting them. So typically, there's no central line running from A to C. That central lane is what defines typically something like a three-lane map, which I'm not really going to get into right now. But basically, it looks like a circular map. For those of you who are playing in the PC beta, would love to hear your take on this on Twitter or in Discord if you want to come and talk to us about it there. We'd really love to get some feedback on how that map plays and a little more info on what it looks like. It looks really cool to me. I think the aesthetic is nice. I think, honestly, I think the PvP maps in Destiny 2 that have been revealed so far are gorgeous. I cannot wait to see more next week. It's that close. It's that close right now. The hype is real.
Yeah. Wednesday, I'm already thinking ahead right now. It's only Monday, and I'm already thinking about, oh man, I've got next Monday off for a holiday, and then I only have one day of work. And then I've got 3 days off. 3 days to play Destiny 2 to find everything. Oh, I can't wait.
I just broke down today, and I took off Wednesday afternoon and Thursday. I already had Friday off, so I'm gonna work for a day and a half next week. And honestly, I don't even know how I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna be so hype. I'm not even gonna be able to focus.
It's totally worth it. It's totally worth it to take that time off. I mean, I don't see how it can.
Yeah, I thought about taking the whole day Wednesday off. My experience with launches in Destiny has been that the morning involves a lot of loading and a lot of trying to get things worked out and a lot of bugs. And I just figured, you know what? I'll go into work, I'll clear out my email queue, and I'll I'll prep for the 4.5 day weekend I'm gonna have. And then I'll go home and I'll play Destiny worry-free. So that's the thinking anyway. That's the thinking.
I can't wait. It's gonna be awesome. I'm literally like thinking about how much I've seen so far and how much more there is to still be revealed. And like part of the original Destiny experience for me that I love so much was exploring the new locations. And like I've watched 90 minutes of European Dead Zone gameplay and it still seems like there's a ton to explore. Like I don't even feel like I've scratched the surface. And then after I'm done with that, I get Titan and then Io and then Nessus. And then I'm actually incredibly excited for the raid that's coming out. And we warned you, this is a spoilery episode. We are going to talk a little bit about the raid. Leviathan is the name of it. And what are some hypotheses about what it could be, because I am super excited as someone who read the Books of Sorrow, as someone who has paid attention to the lore as in-depth as you possibly could. The things that are coming out now about the raid and the dots that people are connecting are absolutely amazing. But I am so excited. When Destiny 1 came out, I was excited to explore, but then at the same time, it was so shallow that like I kind of got over that exploration pretty quickly. And then I was impressed with how beautiful it was and how cool it sounded, but I wasn't impressed with the amount of content there was. With Destiny 2, it doesn't look like I'm going to be having any of those issues. All the early releases that are out talk about how much stuff there is to do, how much there is to explore, how much lore there is in the game, how much to learn. I mean, I think my 3 days that I've taken off are going to be full. And I already had someone try to make plans with me that weekend. And I was like, nope,
yeah,
can't do it. Not going to happen. I've got that weekend booked solid. Like, what, for work? I was like, no. Like, what are you doing? It's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know. Just know that I can't do anything that weekend. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, no plans can be made. Yeah, my wife was like, so when is Destiny 2 coming out again? I was like, September 6th. And she was like, oh, so I should just plan to not see you for 5 days. And I was like, I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
Four and a half.
I have to eat, you know.
Yeah, I told my girlfriend, if you want to hang out with me, feel free to bring me food. I love barbecue, right? There's a great barbecue place right down the street. I will stop, you know, and talk to you for a few minutes if you bring me barbecue. That's one way you can get my attention.
You're going to have to wash your hands. I mean,
yeah, exactly. So I might have to use the bathroom once or twice. I mean, I've installed a toilet in the middle of my couch. I just lift up one of the cushions and then the toilet's right there. So I feel like I might be good to go on that. But at some point I might need to sleep. I mean, it's 5 days. I don't know if I've ever gone 5 days without sleeping, but I'm sure as hell going to try.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we were talking about trying to record a podcast sometime next week. I don't know when we're going to do that. I don't even know.
Yeah. It's going to have to be Thursday night, maybe.
I guess. Yeah. Which is going to be really hard.
Because I can't do it Wednesday night. Yeah, I can't do it Wednesday
night. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to do that, and then I'm going to play Destiny all Thursday night, Friday morning, and into Friday. Mm-hmm. Taking a break to have breakfast with my family.
Yep. Which reminds me, I need to pre-download the day one patch that's on Xbox One now. I need to pre-download that thing.
Oh, there we go. There's the Xbox exclusive, timed exclusive for Xbox is preloading. I cannot preload anything until, I don't know which day now. I've totally lost track.
Well, I just got to hope that it works directly at midnight, because for Destiny 1, I got the game. I actually got the hard copy of the game from GameStop at midnight. I was home within like 7 minutes, put it in, downloaded all the stuff, installed it. Internet went out. Literally, my internet went down. I called Comcast. I bitched them out. I told them I had some work or something that was due the next morning. I was like, you had better get the internet back up. Ended up sitting there for like 3 hours just reading stuff online about Destiny because I couldn't play. Fell asleep at my computer. Woke up 4 hours after that, like 7 a.m, and my internet was back up. And then I just played like the entire rest of the day. The problem with that was I was living at a house with someone else, and so they bothered me during the day, and it was horrible. Now that I live by myself, I can lock all my doors, close all my windows, and just lock down. Dark room, Destiny, me, some barbecue that my girlfriend will bring me, hopefully. And it's going to be good to go.
So speaking, though, I think let's our hype train is leaving the station, but let's try to stay on topic here. Get through just a couple of more spoilers here for those who have stuck around. So EDZ, you talked about you actually sat down and watched the entire reveal video. I kind of kept myself in the dark, so at the very least I haven't seen the maps and everything. I watched a little bit here and there, and I kind of caught some of the stuff that was revealed. I want the visuals to really be a surprise, because the visuals in Destiny are just something that always blows me away. And I love seeing it raw the first time. I don't want to see it, but I don't mind hearing. So what's some of the cool stuff that you caught in there?
Oh, it's beautiful. Just the entire thing. I know you don't want to see the scenery, but I mean, good God, it's beautiful. One of the things that stood out to me the most was how much more intricate the public events really were. And obviously there's heroic versions of them now. But not only that, the sheer size of the map is like nothing that we've seen in Destiny 1. I mean, just one singular area puts, you know, Cosmodrome to shame. And that's only one part of the European Dead Zone. And on top of that, there's so much more stuff going on. It feels like the world is so much more alive. You've got, obviously, the NPCs that are around there, but there's more Guardians in the area. There's, you know, I mean, more AI. It's just everything is more and more and more. And it's so beautiful. But something that stuck out to me is there's like a Taken Forest. The Dark Forest is what they call it. And you actually have to go through a Taken portal to get to this section of the European Dead Zone. And it's like it's literally a dark forest, but it's like a forest where everything is taken.
Wow.
And I was watching this guy walk around this, and I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in Destiny. It makes it feel like it is a separate part of the world. Like you've stepped through. Did you watch Stranger Things by chance?
I need to go back and finish it, which I know is probably going to get a lot of people like, this guy, but
It's an amazing show. But have you seen parts where they go into the other world?
Yes.
So it was like that.
Wow.
It was like you've got the European Dead Zone, which is this like beautiful European forest, and then you've got the Dark Forest, which is like the other world version of the European Dead Zone. It was so freaking cool. And I actually turned that off partway through because I was like, no. I was like, some of this, like, I want to be able to explore this part on my own. The rest of the European Dead Zone just looks, you know, awesome. But it's a forest, you know. It's a forest, and there's going to be some cool stuff. But the wonderful thing was I watched so much gameplay, and I still felt like I didn't even scratch the surface of the area. Like, there's going to be so much for me to explore on my own. There's going to be adventures. There's going to be lost sectors. There's going to be all these different public events. There's going to be drops. Like, I'm going to have to care about drops again. It's going to be awesome. And then, you know, on top of that, that's just the European dead zone. More stuff started coming out about Titan. There was a Polish leak that had the Titan map. There was a guy who was comparing the IO maps that we saw in the past to the ones we're seeing now, and he's like, they're totally different. So he's like, unless the geometry has massively changed in between the initial reveal and now, which is possible, he's like, I think IO might be multiple levels. And as you go up or down levels, the map geometry obviously shifts and is different, which if that's the case, that would be amazing. Seriously. I cannot wait. And the idea of like Titan, of it being this like floating, you know, there's like a floating resort and there's like laboratories and all this stuff running around. It's like, these are going to be so totally different. Like, Mars was different than the moon, was different than Venus, was different than Earth, but really, really, were they that different? I mean, the color palettes were different, the architecture was different, but they were all just like a planetoid. Titan is like floating platforms on top of an ocean. Like, that alone is something we haven't seen in Destiny up until this point. The worlds have got me incredibly, incredibly excited.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely agreed. I cannot wait to explore. There's so much. It's going to take way more than the time that we've all taken off, which is really exciting to look forward to. And that, you know, this dark forest, that sounds incredible. I can't wait to stumble across that, exploring the EDZ. And just, you know, knowing that there's something like that out there. Like, so what is there on the other planets? You know, what is there to compare with that? You know, what incredible areas are we going to discover? It's going to be, yeah.
Oh, and there's new animations for Vandals. The Vandals crawl. Like, you know how they crawled in the first story mission in Destiny 1? Yeah. And we were like, why do they never crawl any other time? The Vandals crawl now. And they crawl really fast. And they, like, get right up to you and attack you and stuff like that. And, like, just even the Fallen look better. The Cabal look better. We have seen almost nothing of the Hive, which makes me think the Hive are going to look amazing, too. Just everything that we've seen so far, and then the raid, right? So they leaked the PS4 trophies, is I guess what happened. Yep. The PS4 trophies went up, and one of the trophies was, what was it called, Belly of the Beast? Yep. And it's defeat the Leviathan raid, which the Leviathan, for anyone who's followed the lore at all, knows that the Leviathans were like these massive creatures that swam in the oceans of the gas giant called the Fundament, which was where the Hive came from. Yep. And the idea of a Leviathan being an actual creature, like, we saw that Destiny 2 concept art that had this massive worm, like, it almost looked like a spaceship, right?
Yeah.
But it was like swallowing a planet, and there was like a city built on top of it, and there's all this smoke pouring out of it that is very reminiscent of the Cabal ships as they invade the city. Okay. But then at the same time, you look at this little tiny token that you get from the collector's edition, and it's got these worms on it that have the triangular mouths. And then you look at the hoodie that Luke Smith was wearing that has a triangle with a circle. And then, you know, there's all these things that link it together that make me think that maybe the Cabal have captured one of these creatures and are using it as like some type of planet destroying machine, or have turned it into one of their spaceships or something. It's like, my mind is blown. I'm so excited for this. I want to go into the raid blind. I want to just be able to play it with all my friends and be so excited and have there actually be a story that led up to it. Because, like, the Taken King had a little bit of a story. Crota's End had a little bit of a story. Vault of Glass, they had a little bit of a story, but it wasn't, you know, something like this, where we've been hearing hints of it for 3 solid years now, that there might be something bigger out there. There might be something more terrifying, more mythical, crazier, a different race of beings than what we've seen so far. And this seems like the first step in that direction.
All I can say is that I have been waiting to fight a space dragon this entire time. And if I get that in any form, I'm going to be more happy than, like, I mean, whatever it is, like, it sounds amazing. And, you know, this, we aren't gonna lure down on it. I don't want to get into the linguistic history of the word Leviathan and where it comes from, but suffice it to say that, you know, it's talking about a giant sea monster. And you know, they, I think, I don't know if you mentioned, they had in the concept art for the Leviathan, they had the constellation Cetus in the background, which is a sea monster constellation. And so there's a lot of hinting going on. There's a lot of discussion, and it's really exciting. You're right. It's super exciting. One of the other things I was excited to see was a new type of difficulty level. So they talked about a prestige difficulty, and it sounds like there's going to be a normal difficulty, a heroic difficulty, and then also a prestige difficulty. And both the raid and nightfall strikes will have prestige difficulties. We don't know for sure if other strikes will, but it's probably a safe bet that there'll be other levels or other content with prestige difficulty. Obviously, as far as I know, we haven't had any hints about what that exactly is going to mean.
I hope it's something like legendary from Halo. Like, what we've been missing in Destiny is, like, heroic bumps up the light level, right? But the AI isn't really smarter, although it kind of says it's supposed to be and stuff. Like, the epic modifier is supposed to make the AI smarter. The AI and Destiny are pretty dumb as far as it goes. And we haven't really had anything that's made the AI more accurate, change their tactics. It really just makes them do more damage. That's all they do. And I don't really like that type of multiplier, because you don't have to get any better necessarily to play it. You kind of just have to level up a little bit and then maybe learn a new mechanic. But once you learn the new mechanic, your actual gun skill doesn't have to be better. You know, so stuff like that. I tried to play the Halo 3 campaign on Legendary because obviously I haven't even been able to touch Destiny 1 because all the Destiny 2 stuff has just killed my drive to play it. And I talk so much about Halo 3, but, you know, I hadn't played the Halo 3 campaign since early college. And I was like, I wonder if it still holds up to all this hype that I've given in my own head. And I want to let you know, it does. It's still tremendously fun to play the Halo 3 campaign. But I went back through it and I tried to play it on Legendary, and holy shit, it is difficult. Not just because you die incredibly quickly, but because the AI is smart as shit. They aggressively push you, they snipe you, they're accurate. Like, it was tremendously difficult. And I had to, like, memorize portions of the level and be like, there's an enemy here, an enemy here, an enemy here. I need to take them out in this order, this order, this order. And, like, if you don't, you die. And I really appreciate that challenge more than just let me put on some higher level armor and then go do basically the exact same thing. You know, so I'm really hoping that Prestige or whatever is like much smarter AI. It's like actually a difficult challenge other than just level up, learn one new mechanic.
You know, I think there are probably a lot of people who would be on board for that. You know, there's a certain draw to really challenging in-game content. And I think the very name, you know, of it being a prestige difficulty level says, hey, this difficulty is not for everybody. If you can't beat it, that's okay. Like, I really hope that they have gone out of their way to put something in there for people who want that kind of hardcore PvE content. It doesn't need to have better rewards. Honestly, I think it should have the same rewards, and it's just about, it's about the prestige. It's about saying, I beat it, you know. So maybe there's something cosmetic that says, I'm a PvE god. I can beat the raid on the prestige difficulty. You don't necessarily get better gear or better guns. You know, you're not necessarily like, you don't get to have more fun than anybody else, except that, you know, maybe your fun is just different.
No, you absolutely should not get any better gear from a prestige thing. And it's the same thing with Trials of Osiris. Like, those two things are supposed to be reserved for the best of the respective player pools, and when you water that down, the rewards are thus, you know, not as sought after. But at the same time, you don't want to provide rewards at those levels that are so good that the best players then have an advantage over everyone else other than their own skill,
right?
What I think would be the best is an emblem, right? Maybe a gun skin, a weapon skin, a shader, a cloak or something like that, a Titan mark, something that doesn't have any effect on actual gameplay, but lets you visibly be seen that you are the best of the best. That, will there be people out there who don't get those rewards? Of course there will be. And I feel for those players. It sucks. But at the same time, this whole idea that everybody deserves every single thing in the game, that's not the way it works. In Halo 3, there are achievements based on getting a certain score on a campaign mission. And in order to get that score, you have to play it on Legendary. You have to turn on a selection of skulls. Skulls obviously make things more difficult, right? They're like the modifiers we have in Destiny. And you have to beat it in under a certain time limit. And in order for you to do those things, you actually have to be really good at the mission. You have to be very quick, very accurate. You can't die. You have to be playing with modifiers on that make it more difficult, right? Not everybody could do that stuff. Well, that's not true. Everybody could do it if they sat down, learned the mission, learned how to do it, learned the strategy, and then played it in practice. But not everyone has the time to do that. And I never felt that it was unfair that I couldn't get those rewards at the given time. I really wanted those achievements, but it was difficult for me to get them all. I had to sit down and dedicate myself to get them. I tried getting them the first few playthroughs, didn't work. I wasn't dedicated enough. I didn't think it was unfair I couldn't get them. I understood that they were meant to be achieved by people who worked hard to get them.
And I think it's something that can be good to recognize those players in a way that's reflected in game. You know, I think that there is something laudable about, you know, putting the time in and really demonstrating your skill. And I think it also, you know, I think maybe the only kind of the only danger with that sort of a thing, you know, if there is a cosmetic reward that's too obvious, you know, is that there might start to be those people who are like, you know, LFG, one more must-have prestige emblem. And I think that's, you know, that people are always going to be crappy. They're going to find something to exclude other people based on, right, regardless of what it is.
But we have guided games now.
Yeah, we do. So, you know, so maybe that's not a big deal. You know, maybe what prestigious players should have is a mod for their ship that changes their spawn in and revive animations. Since that's now a thing, I wanted to throw that in there because I thought that was really cool. That's going to be just something you can change by default. Now we'll get mods for it, which is awesome. You know, you don't have to use a consumable to spawn in with bats. I want a bat teleporter. That's what I want. So that's, you know, I think it's exciting that we've got a new difficulty level to look forward to. I hope that it's, like you said, I hope it's not just, like Vault of Glass, like all of the enemies are two levels higher than you.
Yeah. Enjoy struggling just because you can't do as much damage and they do twice as much damage. That's the type of difficulty curve I'm not appreciative of, because there's no real skill to it, I guess. Like, you know, in Halo, you could tell when an enemy was a different level because it would have different armor, right? Visibly, it looked different. It didn't necessarily have a bigger health pool. It may have taken more shots to get rid of the armor piece, right? Because, you know, a brute, you'd have to shoot it a few times, its helmet would come off, then you could shoot it in the head. And the higher the level the enemy was, the more times you had to shoot it to get the helmet off, but then you still shot it once and it died. And that was a visible way of showing you that this is a higher level enemy. It looks like a higher level enemy. You have to fight it like a higher level enemy. Or they had different weapons, like a gravity hammer. In Destiny, it's like that goblin looks like a goblin, but yet now it's mysteriously one-shotting me. Or it's a hobgoblin, I guess. Now it's mysteriously one-shotting me. There's no indication that it is any more powerful or more badass. It just suddenly is. You know? And it was always disconcerting to me to see that. But you know, that's the way they did things in Destiny 1. I hope that's not necessarily the way they do things in Destiny 2. The whole idea of prestige makes me think that, you know, it is going to be a little bit different. From what I've seen, the AI already seems to be a little bit smarter than it was in Destiny 1. I hope that wasn't just wishful thinking on my part, although it very well may have been. But you know, we'll just have to wait and find out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that probably, I guess I don't have any other major things to add in from this this week's Destiny News Roundup. Maybe a couple of nice quality of life things. In Destiny 2, when you're decrypting engrams, you don't have to equip your highest light gear. They calculate your highest maximum light for you, and everything will always decrypt based on that. So that's awesome. Let's see, what else? Reset day will continue to be on Tuesdays. You don't have to change your schedule for playing Destiny. It'll stay the same. Let's see. There's a new collections tab in the vault. There's going to be a new tab for utility items. There's a whole bunch of new stuff in the vault to make keeping stuff easier. So that's going to be awesome as well. Let's see. Still no beards. Still bitter about that. I know. Let's see. What else do we have that is worth mentioning right now? I think that more or less covers the stuff that's new this week, unless I'm forgetting anything. Yeah. So
next week we're going to have a little bit more to talk about, I think. We're going to have a delayed podcast and then a little bit more to talk about.
Yeah. And by a little bit, he means one heck of a lot. So can't wait to see you guys next week in Destiny 2. And I guess let's sign off. So this has been another episode of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. Be sure to check out our friends on the Destiny Tracker Podcast Network, the Destiny Tracker Podcast itself, RNG Cast, Destiny Down Under, Rabbit Hole Radio, and Destiny Lorecast. All great folks. Until next time, peace out.
All right, y'all. Have a good night. We'll see you next week after the release of Destiny 2. Can't wait.